And Revelation, we really talked about a lot of things, and I don't want to go back and review because it'll take half my time, but there are some things that I want to go back there and talk about because I kind of had two things switched up, and the pastor kind of straightened me out a little bit. Because Revelation is, you have to be on your game because there is a lot. There's a lot in there. And honestly, part one, I could have stayed there and done it again because there was so much in there. I'm going to have Dean and Timmy and possibly Jack to read some scriptures tonight along with the teaching. This is Bible study, by the way. Bible study. So we're going to look at the scriptures. We're going to take our time with them and really digest them. I think sometimes we go too fast and we expound, but I think if we let the Holy Spirit just expound even more, I think it'll touch our hearts. You agree with that? Say amen. Amen. Let's go to Revelation 1:3 a minute. I'm going to take 10 minutes here for a recap, and then what I want to get to is Revelation chapter 4. But in Revelation 1, and I'll read this real quick, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. I want you to notice one thing there real quick. Last time I taught this, there's an angel that brought this to John. Jesus Christ sent his angel to tell John the things which are, the things what he had seen. And then when he wrote those things down, John, the pastor that he is, took them to the seven churches. So we get to the middle of this, and I want to get up to another point that John talks to the seven churches, and he sends that message to the seven churches. Actually, John is a messenger, and pastors are angels, angelica in the Greek. It means they're a messenger. So John takes that message and he sends it. Those pastors of those churches, or however they did that, they take it to the churches. So in that instant, that angel is the pastors. That makes sense? So angel means angelica or messenger, and that's what the pastors do. But the angel that Jesus Christ had talked to John and told him to write these things down. So I wanted to make that clear. And Revelation and Apocalypse are two of the same words. They're synonymous. But the Greek word for both of those, and I'm going to do the phonic sounds, is apokilepsis. Apokilepsis. And that means revelation and apocalypse. The word means to unveil or uncover. God gave the book of Revelation for us to understand. This is an unveiling and an uncovering of the events that are going to take place. The book of Revelation had its origin in the mind of God. And he gave it to his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ sent an angel to John so that there would be accuracy. So he told John to write it down. And when John wrote that down, actually he wrote it down without mistake because the angel was over him, watching him. His contents were in the mind from eternity. But they were not given to Jesus Christ until he exalted as head of the church. When God's Son, whom we know as Jesus Christ, became Jesus, the Son of the Almighty God, he laid aside his divine powers, Jesus. When he became the Son of God, he laid aside his divine powers and attributes. He took upon himself the form of man. Deity became humanity. He didn't become any less God, but he took on humanity and submitted to the limitations of a man. Jesus was not omniscient in the days of his flesh. In Luke 2:40, 52, we read that he grew in wisdom and understanding and in the favor with God and man. Now that brought me to a point that I want to tell you that if Jesus grew as a man in wisdom and understanding, then how much more are we to be in the Word and grow in the Word in wisdom and understanding. If He's our example, then we should be in the Word. I call it cruising. If you're cruising during the week, I can't get in the Word right now. You know, your flesh will show it. Your flesh will show it. I'm a living testimony of that. I skip a day or two, I am a bear. And then I've got to repent and get before God and say, right, I didn't take my medicine. But if I had a medicine from the world, I would surely make sure that I got up in the morning and took those pills. Funny about that. But it's how we operate. Are you operating the law of sin and death or the law of life in Christ Jesus? It's which one, it's our, we choose this day whom we serve. But I did want to say that. Jesus Himself taught that it was only through the Father, this is profound, church, Jesus Himself taught that it was only through the Father and the indwelling Spirit that He did all His supernatural work. Amen? Selah. Why? Because if you're not in the Father, and he who are the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, so if you're not in the Father, then there's no way that you could be led by the Spirit. Does that make sense? And so if we're not led by the Spirit, who are we led by? And you know what, church? I don't trust my carnal mind, not for one minute. Not this head. No. But when I pray and say and I receive and I believe, that makes my way straight. Makes the mountains low and the valleys high. The object and purpose of Revelation is to simply to reveal and make known things that are shortly to come to pass. The translation for the word shortly is used by John in the same sense that Paul used the word in his promise of the church in Romans 16:20, where he said, eschatology, it means relating to the end times, or certainly. The visions of John saw gave us certain about the future, even though 1900 years have passed. When the events begin to transpire, and they will take place rapid succession, most of it in 7 years. Also, you can go look this up, because there's seven Beatitudes in Revelation. You should go look that up if you're really wanting to know what them seven Beatitudes are, because I'm not going to take the time right now, but really impress me. The theme of Revelation, "Behold, He cometh in the clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." Why did I repeat that? Because last time I taught, I said that the rapture happened and Jesus Christ is coming back with 10,000 of His saints. And I sort of run them together with this event. And Pastor kind of straightened me out on that. And I didn't mean to do that, but I did do that. When you get up here and teach, you have to be really sharp and listen, because it's little things like that that causes confusion. So I apologize to you. You sin openly, you apologize openly, you repent openly, right? So this is the second coming of Jesus Christ. We would have been raptured. Church would be in heaven. And then Jesus Christ, He will come with clouds, and every eye shall see Him. This second coming of Jesus Christ is the main theme of the book of Revelation. The events involving seals, trumpets, vials, and other things in the plan of God are preparatory to Christ's coming. The coming of Jesus Christ is announced three times in the book of Revelation. It's announced in 1:7, 11, 15, 18. I know I'm going fast, church, but I want to get to Revelation 4. This is the teaching I had for you tonight. So this is just review, so I'm going to go a little fast. I hope you don't mind. And it's in the middle, 11:15, and at the end of the prophecy, 22:20. The second coming of Jesus is referred to many times in the book, and it's vividly described in Revelation 19:11. The word for see in 1:7 is not an ordinary word. It means to look on something. The word is used here means to gaze or stare with wide open eyes at something that is remarkable or something absolutely horrifying to the beholder, producing fear, hatred, reverence, or whatever the case may be. We would be gone here, church, but if when He comes, are not right with Christ, it's going to be horrifying. It's going to be horrifying. those that are right with Christ, of course, it's going to be a moment and say, there's just going to be a moment of just awe. Because they're just glad to see their Lord. Because at that point, if you went through tribulation at that point, you would be glad to see Jesus Christ come.
Right.
Something, Jesus is saying that he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He claims equality with the Father, eternity, and his state of power and of his lordship. We got to John the prophet, and John the prophet in Revelation 1:9, John also, he said, I am your brother and companion in tribulation and the kingdom patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that was called Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. He said, I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day. And I want to make a point here as I go on. And heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet. Just to say, you know, when Timmy sings up here, you know, you'll sing almost like the instrument that you play. And Timmy's voice sometimes will reflect a trumpet note. And I could just hear the trumpet saying that I am the Alpha and Omega. You wouldn't want to do a rendition of that by the trumpet sound, Tim? On that note? I am the Alpha and Omega. I can hear that trumpet just saying that. And the first and the last. Would thou seest write in the book and send it to Ephesus? Ephesus? Smyrna? Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. They are the churches, the seven churches of Asia Minor. I want to say something here that John talks about the Lord's Day. And the reason why they had the Lord's Day, because back then they had Augustan Day. And it was an honor Caesar. And they still hold a Saturday Sabbath, and Saturday was a Sabbath under the old Jewish covenant. The old covenant with the law, including the Ten Commandments, was done away with as they were nailed to the cross. Through Jesus Christ, we have the new covenant. Nine of the Ten Commandments are moral in content and concern either man's relationship to God or man's relationship to man. These commandments were reestablished, and Jesus gave the fullest expression for compliance in these relationships. Mark 12:29-31, the call for commitment which Jesus made in the new covenant is, of course, even greater and fuller than the old covenant. Only the commandment concerning the Sabbath was not brought into the new covenant. We read Colossians 2:14-17 that Jesus Christ blotted out ordinances and nailed them to the cross. And that includes the old Sabbath day. We are not to be judged on holy days and Sabbaths, according to the scripture. Now, if anybody's gone and chasing Jewish tradition of the feast, and that it's good to know about that, but those were nailed to the cross. You got to understand that. We have a better way, a newer covenant today with Jesus. In reality, one should worship the Lord every day. There is a Lord's Day, but for a Christian, that's every day. If you're not celebrating the Lord's Day every day, then you should have a talk with yourself. I think that's important. I just want to say again that John also talks about Jesus Christ, and he describes him. And one of the descriptions he says is his voice is the sounds of many waters. And when I thought about that in Isaiah 53:19, it says, when an enemy comes in like a flood. And some people say they should have moved to Coma. Well, I don't think so. When I thought about that, the enemy comes in like a flood, because there's other scriptures there I'll give you. Isaiah 59:19 says, God lifts up a standard. Psalm 18:4 says, the floods of ungodliness. Psalm 69:15 says, let not the flood water overcome me. So, just the sound of Jesus Christ, his voice, the sound of many waters. If you can even get that little bit in your spirit, man, how loud that would be, it would really, really encompass and eliminate a flood. So the sound of his voice, as many waters, I think would be his word speaking to us through the Holy Spirit when we speak that word with boldness. Accuracy, believing that when it goes out from our mouth that it creates. Once we do that, that is the word of God. That is the word, the sound of many waters going forth. You have to believe that, church, because that's what it is. When the enemy comes in like a flood, we get inundated. Tried to happen to me this week with all the things I had to do. I says, no, you know, you get down, you speak the word. I'm the righteousness of Christ Jesus. I will not be pushed around. I will not be compelled to go here or go there. I believe that the word of God will have a new mind or recreated mind. And it'll tell me where to go. The Holy Spirit will tell me where to go, what to do. And I know we have jobs and we have to report for our jobs. I get it. But I also know that when you're at home in your private time and you got to do this, you got to do that, you need to really sit down and allow the Holy Spirit to direct you. I had some things that I wanted to say this, and then we'll get to write the things that thou hast seen in Revelation 1:19. He told John, write the things that thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches that we talked about. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. I'm sorry, I said the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. He was told to write these things down, things that he had seen. Then in the second part, he is to relate to the things which are. This is the only part of the entire book of Revelation where now being fulfilled. The things referred to as being present include the church age as we know it today, a period that has lasted for about 2,000 years. The period will end with the rapture of the church and the beginning of tribulation. In the third part, he is to write the things that shall be after, hereafter. These are the things which are future and begin in chapter 4 of Revelation. In order to understand and interpret the apocalypse, the characters and symbols must be identified. Mystery is a truth given by a special revelation from God in Ephesians 3:3. The seven stars are identified as the angels of the seven churches. The Greek word for angels primarily means messengers and is reference to the pastors of the seven churches. Now, the seven churches of Asia Minor, there were more than seven churches, but for these, for the sake of John teaching this, you don't know how far that went out because there was other churches. But his main thrust was these seven. And then the pastors, of course, had other churches. Literally, stars are luminaries. Pastors are luminaries. They give light to the earth. Churches are luminaries. They are what the pastors teach, and that light is emanated through us. We are lights. And the fitting symbols are men who are shine as lights in the world in Philippians 2:15. The seven candlesticks, lampstands, are symbol of the churches manifesting Christ within them and holding forth a word of life in this darkness world, in this darkened world, Philippians 2:16. Pastors and their churches must lead the way in manifesting Christ in today's darkening world. And that takes us to Revelation 4. Thank you for your patience. Revelation 4:1 says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened into heaven. And the first voice which I heard was that it were a trumpet talking with me and says, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. The first two words in this verse is after this. They're from the Greek phrase meta tanta, which means after these things. It literally means after the things which concern the churches. John says he looked, and there first voice says, come up hither. I will show thee things which must be hereafter, that is, after the churches. This begins the third and last part of the book of Revelation and makes up the major portion. From this point on, we do not hear or read anything about the church on earth. When the church is mentioned, it is in heaven. There are many who believe that the church of Jesus Christ has to go through great tribulation, or at least a part of it. Not. It is easy to get confused by tribulation, Because we do go through some tribulation here. If you're picking up your cross and following Jesus, you're going through tribulation. Jesus used the word great tribulation. In the book of Matthew 24:21, he said, "It would be such as a world never yet seen, nor would ever see again." This has always been tribulation. It is even now taking place in the lives of Christians, but this is not the great tribulation. The great tribulation will be a period when God Almighty pours out His wrath and anger upon a sinful, wicked world. The great tribulation, if you decide to stay here, will demonstrate the wrath of God. It will not serve to prepare the church for the rapture. Trouble, war, headache, difficulties, dawn do not necessarily get anyone ready for anything. Rather, it's a person's belief in Christ, his acceptance of Jesus, and his living for God Almighty and drawing close to Him and His Word. Christians are washed by the water of the Word, and the Holy Ghost readies the church. Some may turn to Christ in difficulties while others turn away and curse God. Tragedy and chaos cause some people to pray, but it embitters others. A number of scriptures relate to the fact of rapture and the manner in which we'll take. Dean, if you look up Luke 21:34 and read that, and I'll try to hurry with these. And Dean, John 14:1. Timmy, 1 Corinthians 15:52. Thank you, sir. 14:1. And then Timmy can get 1 Corinthians 15:52. And Jack, will you be so kind to read 2 Corinthians 5, 1-3? And I'll get Ephesians 5:27. These are very important scriptures because you'll hear what they say. Whenever you're ready, Dean.
Okay. Luke 21:34, New King James. "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly." And John.
He said he talked about that day. And John 14:1.
"Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me."
Next verse, Dean.
1 Corinthians 15:52. This is amplified.
Okay.
"In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet call, for a trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, free and immune from decay."
Oof.
"And we shall be changed, transformed."
Hallelujah.
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 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 3. "For we know that if our heavenly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked."
Ephesians 5:27 says that I want to back up one verse, "that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." Hallelujah. There's more, but for the sake of time, we're just going to go on. There are scriptures that you can go look up. They are about the rapture. Philippians 3:29, 1 Thessalonians 2:19, and 1 Thessalonians 5:9. And 1 Thessalonians 5:9 bears reading, "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation." So if he's not pointing you to wrath, then you would have to believe that Revelation 4, that we're called and we're raptured out of here. Because the type of wrath that I read to you, there is no way, because you would fall and you would have a heart attack if you seen that. I mean, let's talk about great tribulation. I mean, we've experienced earthquakes on this scale. Somebody help me. 5, 6, 7? 8? Did you ever hear of an 8? I heard of a 7. Could you imagine great tribulation, earthquakes on a scale of 10, 11, 12? Where are they going to hide? If they made holes to go hide in, like through, come on. I mean, there's bunker bombs that went over there and exploded those holes over there Afghanistan? I mean, so where are you going to hide in a great tribulation if you have earthquakes at that extreme? You just built your tomb. So we're out of here. And, you know, last time I taught, I said, you know, I was mid-trib. But I was very young then. I was very young in the Lord. When Pastor had taught about pre, mid, and post, and you guys might remember because he said some things like the first bus. Remember that teaching? That was down in the little church. And I thought to myself, man, I ain't staying here. I want out of here as soon as I can get out of here. I mean, it's actually a mentally challenge even now for us because Satan is attacking our minds today. Yes, this is probably one of you have to take up your cross and say, you know, hey, I'm not falling for that trick no more. I'm not getting angry, okay? My famous, it helped me out a lot because I said this at the beginning of the year, no more rewinds. I'm not doing that. Amen. I'm not rewinding or overthinking something or putting something in it that doesn't belong there and just making up trouble for myself. I'm not doing that no more. You know, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to rest in Him when I trust in Him. I'm going to commit my way to Him. Why? Because if I don't, then my carnal mind's going to reason these things. And I don't want to do that no more. Because, hey, quite frankly, I am a man of no reputation. Because where I come from, where God got me now, I thank Him eternally for that.
Amen.
So it doesn't matter no more. It doesn't matter what people think of me. I want to know what God thinks of me. I want to know that my heart's right, that I'm confident before Him, that I'm doing the right thing. And trust me, church, I don't always do the right thing. I sin and I get down before God, get my head in the rug and I say, forgive me, Lord. I don't know why I even did that. I don't even understand myself, Lord. If I love you, Lord, and I want to serve you. I don't want to be disconnected or apart from you. I want to do what's right and what's holy and just. And if I don't always do that, then help me in my weakness. Help me to understand whose I am. Because you got to give a revelation of who He is. Amen? And so don't get estranged from Him through sin. We do sin, but know what? We're sinning less. Every day we've outsmarted the enemy and we're sinning less. I'm not getting upset what I got upset about yesterday. Tim, I ain't jacking cars sideways no more and coming out after people. I ain't doing that no more. I don't have to do that. I could ease on down the road. That's all. And just praise God and just keep going. So that's the important thing that I wanted to share with you in that. And in Thessalonians 2, 6, and 8, we read, "And now ye know what withholdeth that He might reveal in His time. For the mystery of iniquity, it's already at work. Only he who letteth will let." We just talked about that. "Only he now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall the wicked be revealed." We're out of here. We're the only one stopping the wicked one from taking over. I believe this. I'm not getting political. I was on my face praying for this nation. When he got in, President Trump got in, I was so glad. I saw it, church, I saw it as a second chance that there's light coming on this nation. I was so elated. I mean, I was in tears. I was in tears. I said, thank you, Jesus. You've given us a second chance. You're going to flood this nation with light again. Isn't that wonderful? That gets you excited. Thank you, Father. Amen. "So when the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord consumed with the spirit of His mouth and shall destroy with brightness of His coming." First, it is stated that somebody will be taken out of the way. This would appear to be the church because in the second chapter of Acts, we are told that the Holy Spirit will not be taken out of the world. He will be here to do the work and carry on functions of His office during the great tribulation. There are differences of opinion on this point. Some argue the pronoun he and in the male gender, and the church is spoken of in the female gender, and in the bride of Christ. That's not so. We are in the body of Christ, and Christ is a man. Christ is spoken of in the male gender, and on that basis, the body would not be female. The bride of Christ is really talked about in the latter chapters of the book of Revelation. It refers to New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. The bride will be thought of in a different gender, so it is the church that will be taken out of the way in Revelation 4, and then the wicked will be revealed, that is, the Antichrist. Another reason for believing that the Great Tribulation will follow the rapture is that after Revelation 4 and on down through chapter 19, there is a marked change in God's attitude in general. It goes from mercy, which has been expressed for 1,000 years, to that of judgment. The body of Christ is not here, and judgment is going to be poured out upon sin and iniquity. Absolutely nothing is said about the church on earth after Revelation 1:4. The church is mentioned one time in heaven, but not on earth. One group referred to during that time, and perhaps mistaken to be the church, is Israel. Jacob is in reference to Israel, and comment is made about Jacob's trouble. The time of the Great Tribulation will be a time of great trouble for Israel and also for a God-forsaken world. Israel will be brought to a place of national repentance, but this is not to bring the church into submission, church. So the next great event on the horizon of time is the rapture of the church, the body of Christ. Nobody knows the time of the rapture, but it will take place at the beginning of chapter 4 in the book of Revelations. John said in Revelation 4:1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking to me, which said, 'Come up hither, and I will show these things which must be hereafter.'" This has a twofold meaning. It's speaking of the rapture of the church, the body of Christ, but also a message to John. He was to see the things which would be hereafter. That is, after the resurrection. Church has gone to be with Jesus. They're already in heaven. What a great and glorious event this will be. Millions of people will suddenly disappear. Unusual things will take place. Certainly it will be earth-shaking, and in a magnitude and scope beyond our imagination. People involved in all kind of activity will suddenly disappear. In a twinkling of an eye, they will be changed. Mortality will put on immortality. The Bible tells us that corruption will put on incorruption. The rapture will be phenomenal and astounding. These are really two Greek words in most passages of the Bible that relate to the rapture. The first one is parousia. It means personal coming or appearance. It is used for the rapture and the revelation of Christ, which could be the second coming. At the rapture, Christ appears personally in the air and to meet the saints. While at the second coming, he appears personally to mankind on earth with the saints. I'm going to read that again. Parousia, as it means personal coming or appearance, it is used for the rapture and the revelation of Christ and could be the second coming. At the rapture, Christ appears personally in the air to meet the saints, while at the second coming, he appears personally to mankind on the earth with the saints. There are two different events altogether. Now, there's another part of the word, parousia. The Greek word is episynoge. It means a complete collection. It means a gathering of all dead in Christ and all the living in Christ from all parts of the earth, out of all denominations and dispensations, to meet Christ in the air. We are gathered unto him at the rapture. The word literally means separation. It is a separating of godly living from others. The second word that refers to the rapture in the New Testament is phaneros. Parousia is taken from 1 Corinthians 15:20 and 23, 1 Thessalonians 2:19. The word phaneros is used in 1 John 2:28, 3:2, 1 Peter 5:4. The Greek word for phaneros means to appear. It refers to the appearing to the saints at the rapture. He will not appear to the world until his second coming. Now, the rapture will include all Old Testament saints and the church saints which are saved and have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb all the way from Adam until the rapture takes place. There are several reasons for the rapture. Excuse me. First reason for the rapture, it serves to receive the saints to himself, to Jesus Christ. Secondly, secondly, it would be to resurrect the dead in Christ from among the wicked dead. Thirdly, it is to take saints to heaven where they will receive judgment for works done in the body and receive the rewards and partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb. You don't have judgment, you have rewards. For what you do here, you will receive a reward. And fourthly, the rapture will change the body of the saints to immortality, because this mortal will then put on immortality and corruption will put on incorruption. Thank God there will be no more sickness, death, or sorrow. Fifthly, it is to present the saints before God the Father to be with Him forever. Sixthly, the rapture will take place, and the object of it is to make the saints whole in spirit, soul, and body. You will be complete in Him. There's a term Apostle Paul used in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The seventh purpose of the rapture is to receive the fruit of the early and latter rain. My spirit just went back to that fig tree. I don't know why. When he came to the fig tree and he wanted that fruit, and there was none. What did he do to the fig tree? He cursed it to the root. Church, I'm telling you, we have to let the fruits of the Spirit grow in us. Love, peace, joy, patience, kindness, long-suffering, gentleness. Yeah, those are not always with us in our times of impatience. We all do that. That's the human part of us that picking up on our cross and carrying. That's the part. That's what we have to do, is keep evolving in Christ, if I can use that term, and just letting those gifts and the fruits of the Spirit work us. I know it's been a long day. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. So stay awake. Thank you. The eighth reason is to cause the saints to escape. This is the great escape. Escape the tribulation and all these things and stand before the Son of Man. The ninth purpose is to remove the hinderer of lawlessness, to get the church out of the world, get you out of here. Yeah. Enemy wants you out of here. Mm-hmm. 1 Thessalonians 2:1-8, to remove it so that the tenth purpose can be accomplished, that is, the revealing of the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. It may also be noted following the rapture of the church and the Old Testament saints, there are several other raptures that will take place. One is the man-child, chapter 12. Two is the witness, chapter 11. And in tribulation saints, chapter 7. The tribulation saints are those people who will come out of the great tribulation washed in the blood of the Lamb. Some Christians will not be ready for the rapture. In Revelation 3:15, those who are lukewarm, Laodicea Christians, that's part of that. I'm going to do that teaching on the churches because some believe they're dispensational. Well, Dake said, well, if it's dispensational, that would mean that the other scriptures would be dispensational and are not. So there was argument to that. It went back and forth. But I believe the church are informational. They tell us different churches and what they do. I mean, come on. I mean, even today, there's idol worship. There's American gods. I mean, your credit, come on, I don't have to go there. There's American gods there. No, we have to get away from idol worship. So, lukewarm or not, they're not going. If you're lukewarm, if you're chasing the wrong thing, you're not going. This is why our Father wants us to worship Him. This is why worship, when you lift your hands, you submit yourself to Him. And not only you could stand there, you don't have to lift your hands, but if you lift your heart, it's a better saying, to Him. Not lukewarm. He will spew you out. Obviously, they are in the church, since it is the church that is being addressed, but they will not go in the rapture. A second group that is not prepared, referred to in 2 Corinthians 6:14, and that scripture says they're yoked with darkness. Do not be unequally yoked. That's another group that's not going. Separation is called for, since light and darkness cannot have fellowship. The exhortation is no doubt for the Christian to come out from the world, Be ye separate, saith the Lord. I will receive you. The third group mentioned in the scripture concerns those who are involved in religious activity. They have a form of godliness, but no power. Those who have a taste of spiritual things and aren't ready for the rapture will suddenly realize that it has actually happened. Just, I got to read that again because I think it's worth repeating. Those who have a taste of spiritual things and aren't ready for the rapture will suddenly realize that it has actually happened. See, you can, I could come in here and have a word of knowledge or a praise or a worship song. But you know what? When I walk out of here, my heart better be right. I better be in Christ. You can't be two people. So because when the rapture happens, God looks at the heart. He looks at your heart. It's your heart. If you got black dots in your heart, you're going to stay here. The Great Tribulation is not going to be fun. I used to have fun with Judy when she had the bookstore. I said, why don't you order some Great Tribulation dolls? You like dolls so much. She says, well, what would they look like? I said, they'd have a broken arm. But they made it. I mean, whatever it takes, but they made it. She says, I don't think so. I said, just a thought. Yeah. They will begin to think seriously, and large numbers will turn fully to the Lord. Is it too late? No, you can make it. Although there will be a great revival, the cost of commitment will be great. Martyred. To be assured that one is ready for the rapture, he needs to be in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 2 Corinthians 5:17, and belong to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:23 and Galatians 5:24. A person is made holy and ready through Christ and worthy in him. A purified and prepared people will be ready for the rapture. Very important. I mean, there's always things in the world that catch our attention. It's always something. It's always something that turned. And I often think when Lot's wife left, it was something in her. She was Lot's wife. The angels come to save her. Told her to get out. She was included, Tim. She was included on those that would be saved and taken out. What did she do? You know the story. She was told not to look. Maybe we gaze too much at things we love in the world.
Amen.
Maybe we look just too long. I could name some things right now, but I won't. Maybe we just gaze too long. And when you do gaze, that means that your heart, you've given part of your heart to whatever it is that you're chasing. I'm admonishing you now because the time is short. God's Son, Jesus Christ, is coming back. I believe it's very soon. Whether you call 4 years, 8 years, I don't know. Nobody knows the time. We got a small window to do a great work. When we go to heaven, our rewards are going to be the work we've done here. You are God's righteous. You, every one of you, you're here tonight. You are God's righteous. And you are called to do righteous works. Timmy, I caught your story. You talked to that guy. You held hands and you prayed with him. That is righteous works, church. When you do that, you are actually illuminating and the light's flooding through you. You're actually, all heaven rejoiced. You can't imagine that. How many created angels are there? If one third fell, there's two. How many are there? All heaven rejoiced because you did that. Can you imagine that? Is that not the sound of many waters? Can you imagine that roar? And because he done God's work. And I know you're tired, and I'm just about done here, but I'm telling you, we have a work to do. Don't get caught sleeping. Don't get caught fatigued from the world. Don't get caught gazing. Keep in the Word of God. Take your medicine.
Yes.
Okay? Pastor Jack and Pastor John, give you medicine. Take your medicine. And when we're out of here, church, we're out of here. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming.